And we're back. Welcome to episode number 3 of the Kevin Rook Show, and the very first episode with my new segment at the end called the Lightning Round. If you're not familiar with this, I introduced it in last week's show. The Lightning Round is basically a Lightning Network messaging round where you guys, as listeners, can ask me questions on the Lightning Network using podcasting 2.0 apps like Fountain. If you don't have Fountain yet, you can go download it in the App Store. And I got a few messages from listeners from last show, so I'm going to be answering them at the end of the episode. But let's get right into today's guest. We got Romain Rufiel, co-founder of LN Markets. Here's the episode. Hope you enjoy. Romain, why don't you start us off and talk a little bit about your background in crypto, how you got into derivatives, and how and why you decided to kind of build LN Markets?
Yeah, sure. Hi, Kevin. Hi, everyone. Very happy to be here. So basically we are a team who's been working in financial markets for a while, and then in 2015 we decided to go all in, work in the Bitcoin industry. We started managing funds for like a Bitcoin fund, and we felt that dealing with funds on exchange was quite an unpleasant experience, because maybe you've seen it yourself, you know, it's a little bit stressful. You enter the address, you want to make sure you don't make any mistakes, and then there is the fees and the time it takes. So overall, we never liked, you know, like sending funds and receiving funds. And when the Lightning Network came in 2018, we started playing with it. We opened some kind of Lightning shop, and our mind was blown, because we saw the power to transfer online immediately, you know, instantly over the internet. And that's something like completely new. When you think about payments, when you think about finance, the possibility to settle money, you know, over the internet without counterparty risk, instantly something fundamentally new. So we had this idea, you know, like to say, hey, okay, Lightning Network is mostly for payments, but why not build a derivatives trading platform built on Lightning? This way, you could trade instantly from your wallet. You know, you could instantly deposit to the platform and withdraw back to your wallet. And let's try to make it as seamless as possible, meaning you don't have to enter an address or even copy paste. Let's just scan QR codes all the way, you know, so use scanning QR code for login and use scanning QR code for deposit and withdrawal to make it like a one-click trading experience. So that's what we built, and the product we built is called LN Market. We went live in March 2020. So far we have one product, which is a future based on BTC USD price. Okay, and we plan to add more products soon. And so far since we launched, I think it's been a great experience, because thanks to the input of our users, we've added more and more cool features, like recently Lightning Address, and now adding more products. So overall, I think it's good, because it shows the possibilities of Lightning, you know, to instantly settle derivatives over the internet.
Yeah, and you guys had some really good growth. Like, I think I saw a chart a while back from, I think it was of the trading volume of LN Markets. Do you have any numbers you can kind of like point to, or any kind of like broad stats that can kind of help people understand how quickly this is growing?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, indeed, the growth since we launched, we've had a very strong growth, both in terms of user and volume. So just to give you an idea, so on LN Market so far there is a trading limit, meaning you cannot deposit more than 1 million sats, than 0.01 BTC. And despite this limit, we've had a total trading volume of $300 million since we launched. So we're with a strong, of course, acceleration this year, and both in terms of user as well. So for example, since in the past 6 months, we have doubled our user base. So, you know, it keeps growing at an exponential rate. So we're quite happy about it. Just to give you maybe another example, recently we've added LN Market to Umbrel, so the Umbrel Node Manager. We've added LN Market apps, and we've had 2,000 downloads, you know, since we installed the application, since we launched the application in Umbrel Store 1 month ago. So yeah, basically we can really feel, you know, the growth of Lightning.
That's amazing. And I think on Umbrel, I think they put out a stat a while ago saying they had something like 15,000 nodes, right? So yeah. 2,000 downloads on 15,000. This is like it's a meaningful percentage of Umbrel's user base that is already testing out LN Markets and playing around with it.
Yes, 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 exactly. And I mean, when you look at Umbrel, for example, it's a good example of the growth of Lightning, you know. And actually, when we did this talk in El Salvador in adopting Bitcoin, we had this story, which I think is interesting, which is that when we launched LN Markets, we wanted at first to launch it using a wallet which is called Joul. So for those who are not familiar with Joul, you know, it's been live since 2018 or 19, and it was a plugin for your browser to link to your node, okay, to link to your Lightning node. So imagine kind of like MetaMask, but link to your node, okay? And when we launched LN Markets, at first, you know, in the testnet version, this was the only option. And we wanted users, because we thought it was cool, it was non-custodial, and users could deposit and withdraw straight from Joul with their node, okay? And when we launched LN Markets, we realized that, in fact, very, very, very few people could run Joul because, you know, at that time, very few people were running their own nodes, you know. It was something that just people did not do at the end of 2019. And fast forward to now, and you've got like Raspi Blitz and Umbrel, and it's super impressive to see the number of people. Nowadays, you said like 50,000. For example, on Umbrel, I think that 90%, they said the Umbrel team, 90% of the latest node probably were with Joul. I mean, it's been fascinating to see what this kind of tools can make for the adoption, you know, because now you really have like 50,000 people running their own node at home, which is like a super cool number. You know, it's a new monetary and banking system we want for countries like El Salvador, for example.
Yeah, so now when you think about the next couple of years moving forward, you're saying like moving backward, you saw that people weren't quite up to speed on running nodes and it just didn't make sense a couple of years ago. If you look a couple of years in the future, how do you think people are going to be interfacing with LN Markets, with other Lightning apps? Do you think everyone's going to run their own node? Is that process going to get even easier? Or do you think there's going to kind of be options for like intermediaries and custodial wallets that kind of allow people to interface with apps? Which do you think kind of is going to be the dominant tool for interfacing with Lightning apps?
It's a very good question, and it's a tough question to answer, but because my guess is that in fact there will be both. Why that is that today, if you want to run your own node using solutions like Umbrel or Raspi Blitz, I think it's gonna seduce more and more people, but today it's still a little bit expensive. You know, it's like $400, something like that. So I mean, like in Europe, in America maybe, or in Asia, it's gonna be the main trend, but there's also a lot of countries in which it's too expensive. You know, it's too expensive for people to afford this. So for example, we are just in El Salvador, you can ask, so there is a problem of education first, of course, but then there is a problem of just it's too expensive and people are not gonna do it. Okay, so I think it's also very important to have easy wallets, you know, like easy to use wallets and solutions. So maybe they're custodial, yes, but in which you can minimize trust so that more and more people can reach the network. So for example, what the guys at Bitcoin Beach were doing, you know, they have a Bitcoin Beach is the name of El Zonte. It's where El Zonte was when the Bitcoin Beach project started that led the adoption of Bitcoin in El Salvador. And they have this wallet called Bitcoin Beach, which is custodial. And why is that? Well, because as they say, as they put it, some of the people who use their wallet, you know, they don't know how to write, they don't know how to read, so you cannot make it too complex, you know, you cannot ask them to run their own nodes or be sovereign individuals. They need something very simple, so it's based on the concept of shared custody, so that, you know, they can access the network and transact on the network. So I guess there will be both, you know, because for people who don't know anything and who don't want to know and who just want access to some, you know, like independent monetary system, they're going to use custodial solution and it's fine. And it's our job to educate them and to drive them towards the safest custodial solution. And on the other side, for, you know, people who are already deep in the rabbit hole, what's nice is that there are more and more tools, you know, to make it easy for them to run their own node and to verify blocks. Yeah.
Now that idea of making things simple and just like the simplicity of building and using Lightning applications, do you think that is going to bleed over into derivatives? Because historically, like, derivatives have been a more sophisticated product. It's a little more difficult to use. If you've never traded before, seeing a derivatives exchange is going to confuse you. Is that something that you think is going to change now, that, like, as people onboard to Lightning, maybe people start to become traders that otherwise wouldn't be traders? Or how do you think about designing a derivatives product on Lightning?
Yeah. The thing with derivatives is that indeed it's a bit specific and it's a bit technical, you know. So our goal is not necessarily to attract everybody to trading or etc. It's more to try to educate people to what it is, so that they understand what they do, you know. So what we're trying to do is try to keep an interface as smooth as possible, you know, and try to keep a UX which is very simple, and at the same time, for people who want to dig deeper, you know, we can provide them more resources, you know, to try more tutorials, more resources to try to understand it. And for example, in the US, I think an app like Robinhood, you know, showed that there was a big demand for derivatives, even for retail investors. When you look at the success of options, for example, they are one of the first apps that made it simple, you know, with a simple UX to trade options, you know, while when I started trading options at banks, you know, it was like highly sophisticated, like, you know, with a lot of fancy mathematical formula by French engineers, etc. And now the UX has simplified. So in a way, that's what we want to achieve with LN Markets, is to simplify the UX, you know, at the maximum. But also, I think that Lightning is going to be mainly used for payments, and that's great, you know, because that's why it's been built, you know, to try to make sats flow all around the world, you know, on top of the Bitcoin blockchain, and I think that's great. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so tell me a bit more about options on LN Markets, because I know you guys are working on an options feature. Right now it's just futures. What's the kind of plan with options for you guys, and is there anything else on your, I guess, 2022 roadmap?
Yeah. So options is so far indeed on LN Markets we have a feature which is BTC USD with a leverage of up to 50. One thing we are going to do soon is increase the leverage up to 100, because now we're quite confident, you know, with the market engines that we have, with the trading infrastructure, with the node infrastructures, because in fact, we've been the first trading platform built on Lightning, and there's been a lot of challenge on many fronts, you know, on the wallet side, on the UX side, on the Lightning side, on trading engine, and now we are at a stage where everything is running smoothly, so we are confident to increase, you know, trading limits and leverage. Now, in terms of products, we are going to add options because we think it's a very interesting market and basically it's the future for derivatives trading. When you look at the volume of options trading platforms, like the leader is Deribit, but even when you look at the others, the numbers are increasing very quickly. There's a lot of traction. So we think it makes sense, you know, for us to start developing this. Plus, You know, which is in charge of trading at LN Market, he's been running options desk for the past 15 years, so he has a perfect knowledge of this product. And the idea is to make them, you know, like simple and accessible. So that's until the end of the year, that's our main goal. And on a longer term perspective, what we want to start doing as well is offering the possibility to settle options either using Lightning as we do with LN Markets, or also offering the possibility to settle options on-chain through DLCs, through discrete lock contracts. So basically giving users the possibility to use non-custodial on-chain contracts to deal with us. So I think it would be something extremely new, because we would not take custody of the user funds doing that. So that's what we're focused on doing right now.
Okay, very cool. I want to touch on the leverage side of things first, though, because I know an interesting development, I guess, in the last few months was, I think FTX lowered leverage from 100x. I think there was also another major exchange that did the same. And now you guys are coming in and you're going to raise max leverage. Is 100x, do you think, the cap? Do you think, I'm curious to know what the reasoning behind adding 100x is. Will you go to 200x? Is it even feasible? Like, how much higher can this go? Love to hear more about your rationale there.
Yeah, no, I think it's feasible. From a technical standpoint, you know, when you look at FX broker, for example, there are foreign exchange brokers that go up to 1,000 leverage. So you can do it. I mean, it can go very quickly. You can get liquidated very quickly, because the more leverage, you know, the more you are sensitive to the variation in price. You can do it, but in the end, it doesn't make sense if it's like only a product. You know, like the more leverage you increase, the more risk you take. So in the end, you don't want to make your users take too much risk. You know, I think 1,000 leverage doesn't really make sense for users. I guess at first we capped at 50x, because you know, depending on your leverage, when users take leverage, we need to manage this position, and we wanted to be confident, you know, managing this position. Now it's okay, so, you know, we feel ready to increase it. But our goal is not to, you know, like, keep increasing it indefinitely, you know. I guess 100x for future is good enough for us, you know.
Yeah, and I guess that some of it depends on the volatility of the underlying asset, Bitcoin, right? Like, if you have a 4x market that maybe isn't as volatile, maybe you can afford to do 1,000x leverage on that. But I guess Bitcoin in its current state is still pretty volatile. Do you think that this becomes I think there was a conversation on Twitter the last week or two about people wondering whether or not Bitcoin becomes more or less volatile over time. What's your take on that? Do you think this is like, over time, Bitcoin gets to the point where it kind of acts like a 4x market, where you can do 1,000x leverage and it becomes like a very stable kind of store of value? Or is this something that you think volatility is going to be a theme in Bitcoin for a long time to come?
I think, you know, like, the goal is for Bitcoin to become the new currency, you know, the new world currency. So that's why we're here, you know, because Bitcoin is political, okay? And what we want to do with Bitcoin is, make it the currency of the future. So in order to achieve this, we see that we are very, very far away in terms of valuation, you know, from leading currencies, so, or for leading asset class. So I guess there will be, to me, a lot of volatility along the way in the coming years, and it will remain. And to me, it's okay, because I mean, the goal is so big, you know, the project is so big that, of course, I guess there will be massive downturns. Okay, we can go up to 200K, and then if a country decides or announces that it will ban Bitcoin or something like that, it can go down 90 or 100x, 1900%. But I guess it's okay, and it's part of the game, because what you want to achieve is something extremely big, you know. I don't think, and I think it would be, to be honest, I think it would be a little sad if Bitcoin were to smoothen its volatility and to become a boring asset right now, because, you know, we're still very early. Because, well, what that would mean is that Bitcoin would stay like a $2 to $3 trillion asset, you know, like that for the coming years. And I guess it would be a bit boring. And I think if you ask most Bitcoiners, they would tell you that they would prefer, you know, like much more volatility and the possibility that it, that hyper Bitcoinization would come, than a flat asset, basically.
That's fair. I mean, even $2-3 trillion, we're starting to throw out some big numbers here. I got to ask, do you have a long-term target goal, like idea of what, how big this asset becomes?
In terms of, I think the first step that I'd like Bitcoin to reach, and I think it's something that can be reached quite easily, is gold. Okay, like I think it's gold, and gold is like 8 to 10 trillion US dollar market, something like that. And I'd like, yeah, I think Bitcoin can go beyond that quite easily. Then after, you know, it's hard to say, but you know, there's always this famous meme on Bitcoin Twitter. Are you saying that, you know, between Neo and the Matrix meme? Like, do you say that someday I'll trade my Bitcoin for a million? No, Neo, you won't have to. And I guess that's the goal for most people. You know, like not having to think about what it means in terms of USD.
Right, and it's just like almost integrated into everyday life, and it's just. It's just a part of regular life. Similar to, I guess, to kind of move the conversation to El Salvador, I think that's something that's almost happening now in El Salvador, that it's almost such a normal part of everyday life, at least from what I see on Twitter. But you were actually in El Salvador. So I'd love to hear more about your thoughts on visiting El Salvador first, and just not even the conference right now, but just like the general atmosphere in El Salvador using payments. Like, how do you feel about Lightning adoption there today, and how people are kind of reacting to it?
Yeah, it's been a fascinating experience. So thank you, Adopting Bitcoin Conference for throwing an amazing event. I spent 10 days in El Salvador, and Well, there are many insights that I collected, but the first one, well, let's start like chronologically, okay? We landed in El Salvador, in San Salvador, sorry, the capital of El Salvador. And, you know, in the capital, in the biggest city of the country, yes, people know what is Bitcoin. You know, they have installed Chivo, which is the state-sponsored wallet, Chivo. So they know what is Bitcoin. Why? Because the government said that anybody who installs Chivo can get $30 for free. Okay, and the minimum salary is $250 in El Salvador. So getting a free airdrop of $50 is meaningful for Salvadorians. So almost all of them in El Salvador, they have installed Chivo wallet so that they get the US dollar, okay? And now, yes, they are using it in daily lives, and there are incentives, for example, for cab drivers. If they pay in Bitcoin at gas stations, they get a 20% discount, okay, in some of the gas stations. So it's a good incentive for them to have it. But the Chivo user experience is pretty bad. Okay, it's really bad. Why is that? At first there were some rumors about a database leak, or people, you have to do a KYC to claim the $30, and there's been some theft, you know, like people stole ID cards to claim US dollar of other people, etc. But this can happen. The main problem is that Chivo is broken from a Lightning perspective, and we've seen it. We've witnessed that. A friend of mine made this video, which became viral on Twitter. He was with the founder of Breeze Wallet at a restaurant, okay? And they tried to pay the bill using Chivo, okay, at this restaurant in San Salvador. So they have the bill, they pay, so they use Breeze Wallet, and it was Roy, so the founder of Breeze, you know, they tried to pay, and the transaction showed, okay, it has been sent, but the restaurant owner did not receive the transaction. Okay, so, but Roy from Breeze said, well, I can see that it's been sent, you know, from Breeze, so you should receive it. But they did not receive it in their wallet. So they had to call Chivo support. Okay, so they wait, they call Chivo support, they finally get somebody, they explain the situation. And Chivo support says, well, it's probably because you should contact the wallet. Okay, it's probably the wallet's fault, it's Breeze's fault, so you should contact Breeze support to get some help. He was like, yeah, but I'm Breeze founder, and I can tell you that I sent this transaction, you know. And yeah, she was, well, there's nothing we can do to help. We did not receive it. Okay, so it's just, and in the end, they had to pay in US dollars. So it's just an example to show you that Chivo, so most people in El Salvador get onboarded to Lightning with Chivo, but it's broken. Okay. So I hope it will improve over time. You know, we'll see, because it's been very short. You know, Bitcoin has become legal tender like only like 2 or 3 months away. So it's been very short. So that's the first aspect. Second aspect is that Bitcoin is only mainstream in the biggest cities like San Salvador, or if you go to El Zonte, Bitcoin Beach, then people know about Bitcoin. But for us, for example, you know, our luggage was lost in our flight. So we had to go buy clothes in a very small town, you know, like in a small shop, and they had almost never heard of Bitcoin, you know, and they were far from accepting Bitcoin just because, you know, signal was not good. They don't have the internet, and even if, you know, they wouldn't want to use it. You know, we talked to a woman, for example. We installed Chivo for her on the countryside, you know, so we installed it for her so that she could get the 30 USD. And she was our guide there. And so at the end of the tour, we told them, hey, do you want to get paid on Chivo in Bitcoin or in US dollar? And she told us, no, USD, because where I live, nobody will accept Bitcoin, you know, so pay me in US dollar. So it still shows. So we have written more example of it in our newsletter, which is lnmarkets.substack.com. and we'll do another article about Lightning adoption there. But so yeah, it's just to show you that in the biggest city, yes. In more remote area, definitely no. And another thing that we learned, and the last thing that was good, is that we met some local people who were a member of an association called Mi Primer Bitcoin, okay, which was trying to educate people to Bitcoin, how you should use it and how to use it. And I think this is key, because the main issue around Bitcoin in El Salvador is education. Because let's be honest, Bitcoin is highly complex. Even for us, you know, like who used to it, it's still complex. So you need more education. You need to teach people how to use it properly, how to understand Bitcoin, why it's useful, etc. And there is an association called Mi Primer Bitcoin, which tries to do just that in El Salvador, to help people understand the value of Bitcoin and how it should be used. And it's great, because thanks to their work, you see more and more people saying, oh, I need my own node, you know, or I want to accept Bitcoin from a non-custodial wallet. And Moon, for example, MUUN, it's a Lightning wallet from South America. It's become quite popular because it's simple and non-custodial. So it's a popular alternative to Chivo, which is more than welcome.
Right. Okay. So we saw the last 6 months, we saw El Salvador as this big catalyst for Lightning, right? Like, from what I understand now, it's like there are still issues to be worked through, and El Salvador is not perfect. They're not fully immersed in Lightning, especially in the remote areas. But it seems like that was a big catalyst to drive adoption of the network in general. What do you think, looking forward, do you see any like catalysts on the horizon, any things that are like that could kind of usher in the next age of you know, new people kind of onboarding to Lightning?
Well, I think in El Salvador, so just if I in El Salvador, it may be just the beginning, because at the end of the trip, you had like Nayib Bukele announcing that they were going to issue Bitcoin bonds. And if El Salvador issues Bitcoin bonds and it becomes successful, you know, it may be an alternative financing means, which honestly could be very attractive for other countries as well, you know. And so I guess one obvious catalyst would be like other countries trying to replicate El Salvador success. Is this gonna happen short term? I don't know, and I think nobody knows. There are rumors about countries in South America or in Africa. I guess to me personally, I would love that, you know, an African country, for example, would do the same and would make Bitcoin legal tender, because I think this could have tremendous success in Africa, for example, and you know, to have Bitcoin, to have two countries on separate continents accepting Bitcoin would be really impressive, I would say. And now, you know, you have some lessons about, you can do some, you know, you can look at El Salvador, see what went well, see what could be improved, and you can work on that to give, you know, proper, let's say, or smoother user experience to onboard new people. So, yeah, I think it's the main catalyst, to be honest. Yeah.
Interesting. And I guess in the meantime, as new countries potentially come on board, there's also going to be this growth in the number of Lightning apps available, and just like the use cases of Lightning, because I feel like trying Lightning 3, 4, 5 months ago, there were only a handful of use cases. Like, you guys were around, but there weren't that many things you could do. And it seems like every day or every week now, there's a new use case popping up, a new browser extension, a new application. There's all sorts of stuff now that I'm just discovering every week. And I think that could be an additional reason for countries to come on board, is like, now there's a fully formed, mature ecosystem of use cases as well. Was there anything in particular that you saw at the conference? Now, like, talking about like some of the companies building there and some of the people like launching new products, any interesting products that you saw there that you can talk about?
Yes. I mean, yeah. There were plenty of product. I think, as you mentioned, like you know, I got to meet the team behind Albi, which is a Lightning browser extension. So I was talking to you about Joule, but Joule, you needed to run your own node, and it was a bit complex. And so basically, Albi wants to be a simplified version of Joule, more accessible to a lot of users. The idea is to build a simple web, you know, like Chrome or Firefox add-in to access the Lightning network. So kind of like the MetaMask experience, but with Lightning. And I think it really makes sense because it's easy to use. So of course there are trade-off in terms of, you know, like custody of the funds, etc. But I think these trade-off are worth it, you know, because it enables to bring more and more people much more easily to the network. And I think, you know, like the onboarding is really, really the key point to me. So I guess having more and more simple options to onboard people is crucial to me in a way. I also think that maybe not specifically at the conference, but I guess once you have that, you know, once you have like a very simple add-in browser, I guess the ability to be able to switch, you know, cash to Lightning directly, so onboard new users to Lightning directly, is of paramount importance. So I know that Strike, for example, is doing it in the US. They wanted to do that in more countries, but of course there are regulations involved and it takes time to get the license to do that. But I think the next wave of Bitcoin users will come straight to Lightning. Okay. And I guess a very easy on-ramp like that, to be able to switch pay by credit card, 20, 10, 30, 50 US dollars, convert it to Lightning and then boom, use it in an app, use it in an ecosystem, is the future to me. In terms of apps, maybe what I like, I saw Thunder Games, and I think the possibility to earn Bitcoin playing video games is also very, very interesting. We saw that with Axie Infinity, for example, on Ethereum, we saw that it was like, it was really impressive to see that many people in Philippines playing around that. So I wish them the same success, you know, with their game. Because it's also a great way to onboard people. You know, you play a game for free and then you own Bitcoin in your wallet on Lightning that you can use for a circular Lightning economy, you know, to go on Bitrefill, to listen to your podcast, to trade some sats at LN Market. And yeah, and what I like, by the way, is that we have more and more tweets about this circular economy on Lightning, people earning sats on video game and using them for other stuff. And that's great because, yeah, you see the ecosystem growing.
Yeah. One of the... go ahead.
Yeah. No, yeah. But mainly when you look at where we come from, you know, we had this slide in our presentation when we did our first app on Lightning. There were like 500 nodes, okay, and the total capacity of Lightning was $50,000. And now you go like 2 to 3 years later and you see that Lightning has enabled, you know, the adoption of Bitcoin for a whole country. Now it's on Twitter, now it rewards publisher on Substack, so there's really this, you know, great momentum. And to have like this type of Lightning conference with so many people and so many great speakers, it was impressive. We had, so it's just a little anecdote, but when we did our talk in the room, there was Tadeusz Drija, which is one of the two co-authors of the Lightning Network white paper, and I felt really honored and humbled that he would be there. So at the end of the talk, with Victor, LN Market CTO, we did the talk together. We went to talk to him, and you know, he told us, "Yeah, it's cool to see what you guys are building because, you know, I white paper, and you know, sometimes I don't know if people use it for anything or if it's gonna be useful or if I'm gonna have any impact." And he was, so he's a very humble man, but I told him, but look at the impact, you know, we are in a country which is using Bitcoin thanks to you, you know. So yes, I guess Lightning ultimately is really starting to take off.
One of the interesting things that I notice now in Lightning that I don't think people recognize if they're just in Bitcoin and not on Lightning is that in the Lightning Network ecosystem, everything is denominated in sats. Like you almost don't even speak of something in Bitcoin. Like no one says like 0.0004 Bitcoin. It's like, no, it's this many sats. And I kind of wonder, how do you think, like, it seems like if Bitcoin price appreciates over time, we get up to, you know, big numbers and we're talking like $1 million a coin or more, it starts to make a lot of sense to move to like a sat standard to me. Do you think that's in the future for all exchanges to be denominating in sats? How do you think that comes to be? What is the catalyst that takes us from like a small ecosystem of Lightning people using sats to everyone, you know, CoinMarketCap, CoinGecko, all the kind of big, the websites, the interfaces that people are using on a day-to-day basis? How do we get them to denominate everything in sats as well?
Yeah, you know, at the conference, I was the CEO of OKCoin, and she was saying that other exchange, you know, they had, so she was showing impressive growth number for the exchange, for the Lightning feature, because they've added support to the Lightning network. And since then, they've also added sats as a standard in the exchange. And she said that, you know, she had very good feedback from all the users. I guess it's the future. That's where we are going, and I think, you know, the only catalyst will be Bitcoin price, because now for everyone, you know, oh my God, Bitcoin is too expensive. It's like 60,000-50,000 US. I missed the Bitcoin boat, etc. Well, why don't I get, you know, like this cheap token because it's like 0.00001, so I'm early, etc. And So I think it's, so it may seem irrelevant, but it's the case. You know, a lot of people are just attracted because it's cheap. So I guess it would make a lot of sense for the whole Bitcoin community to switch to sats. And I guess the catalyst also will be that with Bitcoin price increase, it's going to be less and less convenient and easy for people to exchange like 0.0004212 etc. Bitcoin, and they'll automatically move to sats. On LN Markets, we were native in sats, and honestly, it simplifies a lot of things. And actually, when we look at the price, we often think in terms of, you know, like how many sats per USD, you know, and it clears the mind, it's more simple, and I guess it's better. And you know, you were talking about milestones for Bitcoin. One I forgot is I'm waiting for sat parity. You know, one sat equal to one USD, I guess, it's the next parity I'm waiting for.
Yeah, so one sat equals one USD is 100 million for a Bitcoin, right? So we have sat cent parity first, that's 1 million. And then sat dollar parity is 100 million. Okay, yeah. Those are good milestones. I like them.
Yeah, it's a good milestone.
What I want to talk a little bit about your experience as a builder on Lightning. Can you share any insight into like how that is compared to maybe building outside of Lightning? What are the common pain points? What are the struggles that you deal with that maybe other businesses don't have to deal with? And maybe if you have any advice for builders looking to start on Lightning, how do you get started? What are some of the hurdles you're going to have to overcome specifically on Lightning?
Yes, what's good compared to when we started? What's good is that now there is a lot of tooling, you know, and there is like easy tooling that enables you to build. Like for example, now you have Node Explorer, like Emboss, which are really easy to use, beautiful. Well, you can run your own node with Aspiblitz or Umbrel. You've got plenty of wallets now available, which work really fine. You've got Lightning address standard and LNURL standard, which you know, are like public open source standards that any developer can use to simplify authentication, payments, etc. So I guess, and you have a very like supportive and welcoming community. You know, like if you go to LND Slack, for example, there are like 5,000 developers which are always happy to like answer your question, to help you, etc. So it's good because there is, you know, like like a helpful community of developers. Plus, what's nice is that, you know, the spec is stable, so you can feel confident that if you start building on Lightning, you will not have to rewrite your whole application within 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, etc. You know, so the foundations are strong, and you can benefit from the network effect of Bitcoin, which is also really interesting because, you know, it's you have a you, yes, I mean, there are a lot of Bitcoin believers, you know, people who really are deep into Bitcoin and that want the ecosystem to develop and that will bring help, whether it's in terms of recruitment, in terms of funding. You know, you have more and more Bitcoin VC only funds, you know, or Lightning VC funds that are specifically working in this area, and yes, so it's a good source of funding. On the downside, I would say that it seems that there was less documentation or that it was less easy to work on Lightning than in other blockchains. Probably due to documentation, I would say, or tutorial or etc. But now I think it has changed rapidly, and it's no longer the case. You know, so it's good because, for example, at LN Markets, or even I talked to the guys at Async, they have more and more developers coming to them, you know, and asking to work for them, like showing their GitHub and saying, I want to help, how can I do that? So we can see that, you know, there's a whole new wave of developers coming in. And I think they're right because, I mean, the future is really exciting and there's a lot of things to build. So, and Yes, and you can build on a reliable technical foundation, which is important.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, one more question for you on Lightning. It's very hard to get accurate stats on users and transactions. Like, it's private by design, so there's so much that you can't really see on Lightning that you could see on Bitcoin or any other blockchain. But I'd love to hear your estimate of, you know, you have a bit of an insider perspective here, being at Allen Markets, having been to El Salvador, watching some of the other apps gain traction. How many people do you think are connected to the Lightning Network today?
Connected in a way like have transacted with the Lightning Network?
Yeah, even if it's a custodial wallet, anyone who's like been onboarded. Like I would count everyone in El Salvador who's using Chivo.
If we count Chivo and now Twitter, I would say that it must be something like 10 million people, I would say, you know, if President Bukele said, like, he guessed that around 6 million people now had activated Chivo wallet, plus Twitter, plus all the apps, you know, so I would say we must be at something like 10 million, which is amazing if you look at the growth, you know. Maybe you've seen there's been a research paper, very good research paper on Lightning made by Arcane Research, and they have this impressive chart in which they show like Lightning users last year, like in 2019 or 20, and like around 100k users, and now, yeah, I guess it's around like 8 to 10 million, you know? And so it's specular growth. But yeah, I would say maybe like 10 million. What I can say is that on LN Markets at the beginning, you know, we mostly had people who are already familiar with the Lightning Network, who are already in the ecosystem. And now the growth is really coming out of the Lightning ecosystem. You know, we have a lot of users who are new to Lightning, like new to sending payments or etc. And they're just here as a continuity of Bitcoin. You know, like they love Bitcoin and they wanna get more apps and exposure to different experimentations around Bitcoin. So they come to Lightning and they discover the ecosystem, etc. So it's really interesting to see this increase and new profiles coming to the ecosystem.
Awesome. Love to hear that. This has been a super insightful conversation. I really appreciate all the insight. Where can people find more about you and LN Markets?
Of course, there's lnmarkets.com, our website, in which there is like our trading platform and documentation. We are on Twitter at LN Markets. We also have a Telegram and a Discord group, and we write a newsletter which is on Lightning and finance, and we also try to cover what's going on in the ecosystem. Also try to cover the future of Lightning, what's going to happen. We talk a lot about tokens on Lightning, so that's something that we try to follow closely as well. And also, of course, about financial markets and Bitcoin products. So the newsletter is lnmarkets.substack.com. I already advertised it, sorry for that. But I think it's great, so please subscribe and give us feedback. Yeah.
I can confirm it's a quality newsletter. I've read a few of the issues.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for taking the time to chat. Really enjoyed it, and hope we can do this again sometime soon.
With pleasure, and thank you, Kevin, for what you're doing to the ecosystem. Okay, it's great to have guys like you, showing what's going on here. So thank you.
I feel the same way. Thank you for all you do. All right, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Romain. If you have any questions about the show or anything else you want to ask, shoot me a Lightning Network message using a podcasting 2.0 app like Fountain. I'll answer those all next week. But for now, let's get into the lightning round. And I'm going to answer all the questions from the last week. So since I posted episode 2, I got 29 payments as tips over the Lightning Network, 3 of which came with messages. So I'm going to read them off and answer any questions. First one came from Mary Oscar. He says, great episode. My question for the lightning round is around Bitcoin gaming. Who are the most interesting companies or games in the space in your view? How can Lightning Rewards change game mechanics? And what classic games do you think could be relaunched with a Lightning twist? So there's actually a really interesting post that I saw the other day on Stacker News. I'm going to link it in the description here. And it's a rundown of all the Lightning Network games out there today. So it covers a lot of the ones some of you may be familiar with. Mint Gox, Light Knight, Thunder Games, Satoshi Games, LN Games, Microbet, Lightning Poker. There's all sorts of them. There's at least a dozen or so here. So check that out for a full rundown of all the Lightning Network games that I know of. But to the next part of your question, Oscar, how can Lightning Rewards kind of change game mechanics? I think there's some interesting things that Lightning enables, and a few things that I think gaming companies haven't quite either grasped or haven't quite, maybe they just haven't prioritized these things. But I think it would be really cool to see Bitcoin gaming and Lightning gaming companies take advantage of scarcity, interoperability, and open marketplaces. And what I mean by that is like combining all the in-game items that you might typically have on a traditional mobile game, making those scarce, making those interoperable with other games. I think that'd be really cool, where I can buy one item in a game and move it over to another game and use that item in a second game, or integrate an open marketplace. Think of like OpenSea, not for NFTs necessarily, but for in-game items, which could very well be fungible tokens. Maybe there's only 100, you know, skins in a particular game, and they give you a certain power or a certain ability, and you can trade those back and forth on an open marketplace. I think that'd be really cool. And I haven't seen a marketplace that allows you to trade different items from different games. Of course, all of it would be denominated in sats, which is the really cool thing, that you can build an entire marketplace for all the different games in the space. People can trade items, buy and sell different items for different games, all using sats, and then go play those games with sats, earn sats, sell items, buy items, all within the Bitcoin economy. So I think that'd be really cool. And as the last part of your question, what classic games do you think could be relaunched with a Lightning Network twist? I think all classic games can be Lightning Network games. I think the thing that Lightning enables is this free and instant transfer of value. So anytime there's going to be an upgrade or a skin or a feature in a game that people can buy or sell or use, I think that Lightning is a perfect use case for it. And when you can integrate all these games on some open marketplace or have interoperability between them, I think you really start to play to the strengths of what the Lightning Network offers. Next message came in from Nick, and Nick says, not a question, I'm just sending some sats. Thank you, Nick, for the extra sats. And then the last message here comes in from Peter. He says, boost messages are officially known as boostagrams. It's good to know. If you want to send me a boostagram for the next episode, you can do so on Fountain or any Podcasting 2.0 app. I will read out your question or your message on the next week's show. Looking forward to seeing what you guys send me.